You're listening to Amud Lechazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos. Today's Amud is Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. So we left off at the two dots at the top by a new Mishnah, which is in parentheses, because not every version of the Gemara, first of all, has it. I mean, our Gemara obviously looks like this, but before this Surah Sataf, not every version of the Gemara had this parenthesis here. Some had it attached to the previous Mishnah, and some didn't have it at all. But as I mentioned yesterday, Shir, there's a parallel Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. It's basically the same thing. So this parenthesis is quoted in the Mishnah there. So even those, I mean, it's not from nowhere. But it does belong in this Masechta, just with the previous Mishnah. It could be this is its rightful place as well. We have different versions. Okay. Ha'omer Yivarchucha Tovim. Somebody who says in his davening that the good ones should bless you, Hashem. Harize Darche Minus. This is a heretical thing to say. That good people should bless you. The mashmaos of which are that mashmaos of which are that bad people should not, and that seems to be inappropriate. I'm trying to remember what the Gemara Megillah says, or at least Rashi in Megillah. I'm having trouble remember. I probably do have this in my notes as well. This is the simple shot that. You know, this suffices to explain pshat. It could be that there's I'm sure there's more to say on it, but that it's heretical to say that only the righteous should praise you. Everybody should be praising Hashem. Even Rishayim are included in a tzibor, right? There's a remez that even the word tzibor itself, right? Tzibor was spelled chaser, tzadi beiz resh, right? What does it stand for? Tzadikim beinonim Rishayim. So everybody is part of the tzibor.
Ah, I like that.
Okay.
And but it's Tzibor with a yud, doesn't?
Yeah, I mean it's spelled chasher, meaning it doesn't need to be spelled with yud. It doesn't. It's Tzibor also spelled with a vav, but you could spell it without the yud and the vav, meaning the ikker letters are tzadi beis resh. Okay, so let's continue. Ha'over lifnei teva, somebody passes before the teva, and this is by the way why it will. You know, it looks like it doesn't really belong here. That phrase seems to really fit with the previous Mishnah, and the rest of the Mishnah is going to be also davening for the other one, but not inappropriate things to say. So let's see. Ha'over lifnei teva v'ta, somebody who is davening for the other one, and he makes a mistake. Yavor, we take him down. Oh, sorry. Yavor achar tachtav. So we pass a new person in his place. Presumably, in a situation where he's not able, you know, he's not able to complete his davening. I mean, I guess also we said if he skips over v'lam alashina and birchas aminim, then you'll take him down, as we mentioned with Shmuel Akatan previously. It happened to him. But if someone just can't daven for the yomid, you know, nowadays it's going to be less common. Back then, if you're davening by heart, and just sometimes you just blank out and you just can't. You know, continue davening, so it's hard. Even nowadays, though, sometimes it's happened. It happened to one of my rebbeim, not when I was there, but in yeshiva, who was davening for the amud on Yom Rayim, and the Baal Shachris and Yom Kippur, and he just got sick. He started like throwing up. They brought a garbage can to the amud. He couldn't continue, so somebody else davened instead. You know, he took his place. You have that. So what do? You put somebody else in his place. You don't just stand there forever. But the next halacha, v'lo yehe sarban ba'osasha. I don't want to call it a refusnik. But don't be someone who refuses it at that time. As Rashi's going to say here, and we're going to quote in the Gemara momentarily, when someone asks you to daven for the Yamud, you shouldn't jump up to it right away. You should be a sarvan a little bit. You should, I'm not worthy, right? Rashi says, Lafish.
Well, once he goes around asking a couple times, then you should say it.
Okay, so we'll qualify and we'll quote in the Gemara. Rashi says, "Sheshar yordin lifnei teva kishomrim lo lech reid sarich right now, I'm not worthy lekach. That this is not the time to do that, right? If we're in the middle of davening, someone has to be removed from the amud for whatever reason. Don't be a sarban there. You're kedai. Go up there and do your thing. Okay. Mehechan humaschil. So where does he start? Where do you start somewhere else? Over again? Where do you go? You take off from the word that he left off. So the Mishnah says, "Mitchilas habracha sheta ze," right? From that bracha where the mistake was made, so that would be the place that he would take over. So the one who's davening for the Yom, this is clearly by Shacharis, he should not, or I guess Mincha on a fast day, he should not answer Amen after the Kohanim, right? Talking about a time where we do Birchas Kohanim, so whether it's Eretz Yisrael, or a Sephardi Kehila, or an Ashkenazi Kehila on the Shlosh Regal, or on any Yom Tov, where we have Birchas Kohanim, so the Chazan should not answer Amen to the bracha, to the words they say, Recha Hashem Yishmerecha. He shouldn't say Amen before the next bracha. Why not? Mibnei Hatiruf, because of the it means like torn up, but like the torn up mind that he's going to have. I mean, it's going to be hard for him to focus and get things just right. Rashi says, Mibnei Hatiruf shelo titarif dato. His like das shouldn't be like snatched viita, and he's going to make a mistake. Lefisha tzliach tzibur who tzarich lahaskel baracha shnia velomar lefnei kohanim kol teva v'teva, because he has an obligation like the chazan to tell the kohanim to say brachas kohanim word for word as we discussed in Maseches Sota. So he has his responsibility to do that. So if he's going to be like saying amen, he might confuse himself. So actually, and again, this is going back to their davening by heart. He's davening baal peh. So the chazan might be a little bit confused. Yashem yishmerecha. Okay, amen. Yisa. Wait, Ya'er. You might get confused. So he's putter from saying amen. Could be nowadays though. If you're doing it from a sitter, we don't have this concern. V'im ein sham kohen elahu. If he's the only kohen in the around. So he's the only kohen in the minyan, and he's the chazan. Lo yisas kapav. He should not raise up his hands and do brachas kohanim. Vim haftachoso shehuno seis kapav v'chos l'tefilaso reshai. But if he trusts that he's going to be able to do it, then go back to his tefila. He's allowed. That's okay. We're concerned. He's davening by heart. So if we tell him to go up there into the front of the minyan, turn around, do Birchas Kohanim, and then turn back and go back into tefillah, is he going to be able to transition well? If he's confident, then sure. But if not, then he should not. Rashi just says over here that im shokam elahu hachazan lo yisas kapav shema lo yuchal lachzor l'tefillah so ledash lechave no lahaska b'sim shalom. He might not be able to go back to how he was doing it before and begin b'sim shalom shedata miturefes, because his das again is like snatched up me'emas at tzibur, from the fear of the tzibur, meaning stage fright, right? I have a friend. I don't think he listens to it. I think he's doing Amar B'Chazar, but I don't think he listens to my shir. So he is a kohen, and like it was like, you know, maybe in like Shana Aleph. And he did have a little bit of stage fright, and he was saying Birchas Kohanim, and he was the only Kohen there, and he accidentally said Al Nitila Sedayim. Yeah, it's embarrassing. So this Emas at Tzibur is a real thing. It happens. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, ho over lefnei teva tzarech lesarev. Somebody who goes before the teva davens for the Amud, or who's offered, needs to refuse. Vim eino masarev, and if he doesn't refuse, someone says, "Can you mind davening for the Amud?" I refuse. Vim eino masarev, doma letavsha she'en bo melach. He's like a dish without salt. Right? He has a little meal that doesn't have salt. Vim masarev yosem edai. But if he's absolutely like, I'm not davening for the Amud, and there's nothing you could do. You could threaten me with my life. I refuse to daven. Okay, so even that. Or you Ari asks you a million times a daven, and you keep saying no. So what? Dome letav shel shekadichto melach. You're compared to an oversalted dish that's like shekadich, means like burnt, like it's like a burning dish because of the amount of salt that you put in that. Okay, ketzad huose. What should he do? Pam rishoni yisarev. The first time the gav asked you to daven, no, I don't think so. Shnia mehavhev. The second time, so he's like, go back and forth. Maybe. Shlishis poshet es raglav. He asks you a third time, poshet es raglav v'yored. He should stretch out his legs, get up, and go down for the Amud. I have a friend or he was a gabbai in Eretz Yisrael, and there was one guy who liked the gabbai had a little bit of a short temper, and this other guy liked to be a bedafkanik. So he said, he's like, so Moshe, can you daven for the Amud? Moshe davened for the Amud a lot. So Moshe, can you daven for the Amud? So he's like, nope. So he's like, Moshe, well, he's like, Moshe, sure. And he ran up. But just to drive the gabbai crazy, he like followed this Gemara. So, again, do you have to do it three times? I don't know. I don't know if today's society, I once heard a 10-minute halach on it, but I didn't really get the, like, bottom line. It sounds, is it more of a hashkafa or halacha thing of, like, the three times? Well, I most gabbayim really don't ask anybody three times. Nobody has, you know, most gabbayim, the most they'll ask you is twice. They're really, usually not going to ask you three times unless, like, they really, really want you to daven for the amud. And it's like annoying. If you imagine the gabbai goes and he asks every single person in shul twice. He's making his rounds, like, drive the guy crazy. I think it's a part of it is a hashkafa that, you know, not everyone should just go up and want to hear, you know, I want to hear my voice, you know, for the Amid, or I could do it better than anybody else. It should be that at least a type of humility. Could be also Lemaisa, this three times is appropriate. But again, as we saw from the case in the Mishnah, this is not a halacha to drive the gabbai crazy and to be lazy. This is a halacha for practicality, but also for anava. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Next price is Shlosha. Shlosha Ruban Kasha Umiyutan Yafe. There are three things that if you have a lot of them, it's very bad. If you have a little bit, it's very nice. Ve'ilohen, these are those three things. Sa'or, I know what everyone's thinking, right? Just before Pesach, you're telling me yeast is a good thing? No, so okay. Before Pesach. Umelach, v'sarbonus, and salt. Yeast, salt, and sarbonus, refusal. Refusal is a good, not too much refusal, but a little bit of refusal is good. It's good to not always want to grab the kavod, right? Somebody asks you, can we honor you at the dinner? Can we bechavid you with this? So you shouldn't accept it right away. Now, there are certain things where it's actually inappropriate to refuse, like, you know, I think the Gemara is actually going to get to, like maybe leading a zimun, or Birchas HaTorah, is that considered like disrespectful to the Torah? So someone gives you the opportunity to have an aliyah in your view, so you have to know when to do it. But a little bit of humility that can't hurt. Okay, again another salt reference in this refusal. Amar Rav Huna, Tav b'shlosh rishonos chozer l'rosh. Somebody who makes a mistake in one of the first three brachos, he goes back to the beginning. It is a set of three. If you make a mistake in the middle, right, you leave out Mashi v'rochem or Geshem, and you finish the bracha, you go back to the first bracha. Bemtzayo, so if you make a mistake in the middle, 13 brachos, chozer la'atachone, and you go back to the first bracha at the beginning of the set. Bacharona, if you make a mistake in the last three brachos, chozer la'avoda, as you mentioned, remember we learned about Yalav Yavo at the end of... At the end of the fourth parak, so you go back to the avoda, you go back to Ritzei. So we see that he holds, Rav Huna holds that in if you make a mistake in one of the three sections, you go back to the beginning of that section. Rav Asi says, Emtsayos ein lehen seder, the Emtsayos don't have an order. Okay, so what does that mean? So Rashi says that they don't have an order. Ein lehen seder, vimdalik bracha achas. V'yachakach niskarba omra afshalo b'mkoma. That if you skipped over a bracha, one bracha, and afterwards you remember, so you can go back and say that bracha, and then you can move on. That the brachos don't have to be in any particular order. Now, I believe Tosos and many Rishonim disagree with this, and I think even Halach Lamaisa we hold against this, we don't think that that's Rav Asi's opinion. Rather, Rav Asi's opinion is that there's no set order, but you would still have to go back to the bracha you made a mistake. For example, I guess it's not the best example. I guess it works. No, maybe it doesn't. It's a little different. Sorry?
The same talamata, right?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that, but usually you can make it up by Shema Tefillah, but Shema Tefillah is the end of the section, so it wouldn't be a good example for what the full strength of this halacha that I'm trying to demonstrate. But let's say someone realized that they This is good, right? So they said Hashiva Shoftenu Kvarishon instead of Hashivenu, right? Hashivenu. They accidentally said the wrong bracha, and then they realized, hold on,
I didn't daven for my parnasa. So I must, right? The catch is like, wait, I didn't daven for parnasa. Oh my gosh, I skipped everything for Hashivenu until Hashiva Shoftenu. So what do you do then? So according to Rashi, according to Ravasi, you would have to go back to whatever brachos you left out. Oh, that's also a bad example. Okay. Let's say he said he only left out one bracha. He left out Hashivenu, and he totally just forget that, only that bracha. So then, according to Rav Ashi, according to Rav Asi, you can go back and say Hashivenu wherever you remembered it, and now you did the bracha, and they weren't in order, but that's okay. According to the Tosfos and others of what he's saying, no. You don't have to go back to the beginning of Atachonin, but you have to go back to the bracha you left off and say everything from that on in order. Meaning the order matters, but each bracha is considered as individual bracha in a sense. Meaning that, right, that all the brachas have to be said in order, but you don't have to start from the brachas before that you said, all right.
Well, in the time of the Gemara, it mattered a lot more since they did everything about
that. Right, so yeah, so it could play a factor. I mean, the truth is most of us daven, most people I feel like daven anyway, daven Shema Yisrael Baal Peh. But yeah.
It's instinctive.
Rav Asi, Amar Amtsoyos, Ein Lehen Seder. Masiv Rav Sheishas, Rav Sheishas asked the Braisa, Mei Heichan Hu Chos there, so the Braisa says, from where does he go back? Mitchilas HaBracha, Shetazeh, from the beginning of the Bracha that he made a mistake in. Right, so it's right. So we said this was in the mission above. Where does he go? He goes from the bracha that was made a mistake in the bracha. So it sounds like not like, right? Not like at least Atachonin. So to have to Rav Huna. It's a rejection of Rav Huna because Rav Huna says you go to back to Atachonin, not that you go back to the individual bracha. Right, the Mishnah says someone has to be taken down from the Amud for whatever reason. So what do? We take over we haven't take over in the bracha that he left off. But that's a rejection of Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says if you make a mistake in the bracha, you have to go back to Atachonin.
That's not the same thing. You're just starting. I mean, assuming you were listening to the Chazan until that point, you're just filling in at that point. It's not like you made a mistake and are going back.
Okay.
It's still one long Shmona Esrei in order. You're just coming in the middle. So I don't like if you forgot a bracha completely, then it's not in order. But
okay, I hear that. I hear that. Maybe, I guess the assumption would be, because the Gemara doesn't answer that, so it could be the assumption is that you is this from our mission? is this a quote from our mission? One second, let's just confirm. It says Mehechan. Mehechan who chozer mitchilas a bracha shata zeh. Mehechan who maschil mitchilas a bracha shata zeh. No, so you know what? Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. This is probably not our Mishnah. This is probably a different brisa, and it says from where does he go back? It's a lesson of going back, not from mehechan who maschil. So I guess this is a brisa from somewhere else. My notes on the notes on the side. Where's let's? I don't have it sourced where this brisa is, but it could be it's a different. Different brisa. I'm not sure. It could be this is not our Mishnah. And if not, then it's all good. If it is our Mishnah, then it could be that we're going to assume that the mistake that he made was like he's I guess skipped a bracha or something like that. Or it could be that you would have to say that the chazan should say at least the entire set. So is it considered one set or not? So anyway, the Gemara responds to Rav Huna. So Amar Lach, Rav Huna, and Rav Huna could say to you, Emsayos kulu chada berchasa ninhu. The middle ones are all considered one bracha. So when he says go back to the bracha you left off in, it doesn't mean bracha lav dafka. It means the section of brachos. So there are three brachos. Okay, that's what Rav Huna might say to you. Amar Rav Yehuda li olam al yishal adam sarachav ella. Sorry, a person should never ask for his own needs. Lo b'shlosh v'shonos lo b'shlosh acharonos. Not in the first three or last three brachos. El b'mtsayos. Rather, only in the middle ones. Dama Rav Chanina Rishon, because Rav Chanina said Rishonos dama la evet shemasader shevach lifnei Rambo. The first brachos are like a servant arranging his praises before his master. Emtsayos dama la evet shemavakish pras me Rambo. And the middle ones are like an evet requesting his portion from his master. Acharonos domela evet shakiba pras And the last brachos are like a person, an eved being mekabel his pras, his portion from his master, and then he leaves and goes along. So basically, just the three different. Meaning, what we're talking about, there's a tzad to say that the middle 13 brachos are one set, but they definitely are. Maybe not in how you interrupt and what you have to go back to, but they're for sure considered three different sets. The first one is praising Hashem. The second set is making a request. And the third one is thanking Hashem and taking your leave. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'ase B'Talmud Echad. We're going to bring a story about one particular Talmud. Shayar Lifnei Teva, Lifnei Rabbi Eliezer, Vaya Marich Yosem Yidai. He was having for the Amud in front of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Horkanus at his shul. And he was davening very, very long. He was Marich very much so. Amar Le Talmidav. So the Talmidav said, Rabbeinu, Kama Archon Huza. What an elongator this guy is. Amar Lahem. Did anybody daven for longer than Moshe Rabbeinu? He davened for 40 days and 40 nights. So this guy's. You think this guy's davening long? Moshe Rabbeinu davening longer. This guy's doing okay. Shuv Ma'isa Talmud Echad. There's another story with another Talmud. Shadyar Lifnei Teva Bifnei Rabbi Eliezer V'Haya Mikatzer Yosem Edai. He davened a really, really quick davening. Amar Lei Tamidav Kama Katzon Hu. What an abbreviator this guy is! What a short he is! Amar Lei Kul Mikatzu Yosem Moshe Rabbeinu. Did anybody daven for shorter than Moshe Rabbeinu? Really? Dechsiv Kelna Rafan Allah. Right? Please, God, heal her now. His tefillah and baaloscha for his sister Miriam after she became a matzara. So, did anybody daven for shorter than her? So I don't know if it's talking about length, like, you know, the dragging out chazanos, or is it talking about embellishing and adding your own freestyle, how much, I don't know exactly what the elongation and abbreviation that it's referring to is, but basically, there are long davenings, there are short davenings. Moshe Rabbeinu did long and short, so we kind of have anywhere, your tefillah could be anywhere between 5 words and 40 days. Be shorter or more than that, I don't know, you have to be careful. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, Kol Mavakesh Rachmim Al Chaveiro, Ein Tzarech Lahazkir Shemo. Anybody who seeks mercy on his friend doesn't have to mention his name. Meaning, you're davening for a friend, you don't have to mention the name of the friend. Shenamar Kel Narafan Allah. God, please heal her now. Velo Kimed Kar Shema Miriam. He didn't mention Miriam's name. There's one story I heard I forgot who it was. There's somebody with the Imre Emes, the third Ger Rebbe, some of the Sfas Emes. Basically, the back and forth is: do you want to daven for somebody? What's the person's name? He says, why do you have to mention the name? You know, the Gemara says you don't have to mention the name, and he says, no, you even if you don't mention them, you have to have a remes to the name. If you don't have a remes to the name, then it doesn't mean anything. So I need to know the name, right? As we see over here. Rafa Na is 332 in Gematria, which is the same Gematria as Miriam Yocheved, right? So as Miriam Bas Yocheved was the name. Miriam Yocheved is Gematria Rafa Na. So there has to be a remes to the name. I don't think we hold the halach lemaisa, don't worry. Right, yeah, just mention the name. Also, I think we hold the halacha, by the way, that this is only if the person's there with you in your presence. Then you could say, Kel Na Rafa Na La, you know? Right? Like, but if they're not in front of you, actually, you should mention their name. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Elu Brachos. What?
You said you can't make it shorter, so just add the name.
Yeah, there we go. Tana Rabbanan, Elu Brachos, Sha'adam Shochabahen. These are the brachos that a person bows in Ba'avos, Tchila, Uvasov. In the first bracha, in Avos, right? Magen Avram, so you say Brachata Hashem, and then Brachata Hashem, Magen Avram, the beginning and the end. Behodah, in Modim, Tchila Vasov. By both. That's it. Four bowings in Shemoneh Esrei. V'im ba l'shuach b'sof kol bracha v'bracha u'b'tchilas kol bracha v'bracha. If someone comes to bow during at the beginning and end of every bracha, malam din sh'oso shalo yishche. We tell him, don't do that. Not appropriate to do that. Am Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Am Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Hedyot kemo shamarnu. So what we said, that's actually the halacha for a hedyot, for a regular person. Kohen gadol besof kol bracha bracha. A kohen gadol, because of his great level, he has to bow at the end of every single bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, chonein hadas. Baruch atah Hashem, or shuvah. Rashi says, Kol mashu gadol biyoser tzarech lachnia lahashpilatzma. Anybody who is greater needs to humble himself and lower himself even more. So as we're about to see, even stronger. V'hamelech tchilas kol bracha v'bracha, the king at the beginning and end of every bracha. So the Kohen Gadol only has to do it at the end of the brachos. But the melech, who is has the most, I don't want to call it gaiva, but it was like the highest and the most kavod goes to the melech, so he has to bow at the beginning of every bracha, at the end. It's not every bracha starts with baruch, right? Is that what you're about to ask? Sorry?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know if it would be the same. It would probably be like modim, I assume, if I had to guess. Because modim also doesn't start with baruch, but we bow. And we don't bow bending the knees, Baruch Atah Hashem. We just bow a straight bow. So it could be Atachonein, Hashiveinu, right? It could be that's what we do. I don't know for sure.
What about times when the Kohen Gadol was like the king? Like there wasn't any king over Klal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol was like.
Are you asking about the halachic malchus status of like the Chashmonaim when they became malachim?
I guess so.
I
think there was another time, like when Alexander the Great came.
That was Shimon HaTzadik.
Yeah.
Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. It wasn't the Melech. Alexander the Great was the king, but not a Jewish king. Who was the Jewish king at the time?
Yeah. There was, because then I thought there wasn't.
There was. Yeah, there was. Probably from the. Yeah, there was.
There was a time though when the Kohen Gadol was like the king.
It could be the Chashmonaim. Okay. Yeah, it could be by that point maybe there wasn't anymore.
So the Kohen Gadol would
happen. No. I forgot if that's during the Chashmonaim. I'm not sure. But yeah, you're basically asking the halachic status of a non Ben David king. So I believe yes, but I'm not sure. So let's do one more story. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Ledidi Mefarshali Minei Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani said to me, it was explained, Farshali Minei Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi, from Yishuv Ben Levi, even stronger. Hedyot Kamosha Marnu, the Hedyot davens, as we said, only those four times. Kohen Gadol Tchilas Kol Bracha Ubracha. But the Kohen Gadol does at the beginning of every single bracha. HaMelech Kevan Shekara, and the Melech, as soon as he bows, Shuv eno zokef. Oy vavoy, my aching back. He doesn't stand up straight the whole entire davening. Shnemar, as we say, the pasuk says regarding Shlomo Melech, vahikichalos Shlomo lehaspalel vagomer. Kam lemelfnei mizbeach Hashem mikroa al berachav. Right. So Shlomo Melech was finished davening. Then the pasuk continues later, and then he got up from his bed, from kneeling on his knees. So he was like bent over King Davin's bent over the entire Shmoneh Esrei, in order to humble himself before Hashem. Okay, Yashar Koach.